The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now we turn to Louisville Business First. Today, with no updated edition, we will read from Southern Indiana Business, dated September 22nd to the 26th. Your reader today is Julia Shane. As a reminder, Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or who have other disabilities that make it difficult to read printed material. Our first article is titled Stone City Products to be Inducted into the IMA Hall of Fame, written by Carol Johnson. A Bedford manufacturing company founded in 1946 will be inducted into the Indiana Manufacturers Association, IMA, Manufacturers Hall of Fame next month. Stone City Product, SCP, a precision metal stamping company, is one of eight firms that will be honored during a luncheon on October 19th in Indianapolis. It was completely out of the blue and is quite an honor, said Stuart Reardon, SCP owner and president. The goal of the IMA Manufacturers Hall of Fame and Manufacturing Excellence Awards is to celebrate and recognize the positive achievements made by Indiana manufacturing companies and to honor their contributions in furthering manufacturing in Indiana, said IMA President and CEO Brian Burton. As the most manufacturing-intensive state in the nation, Indiana employs nearly 20% of the Indiana workforce, more than 503,000 employees. Additionally, Indiana manufacturing continues to be one of the highest-paying industry sectors in the state and accounts for 26.41% of the total output in the state. SCP has experienced significant growth over the past two decades and employs 140 people, a considerable increase from the 1950s when it employed about 25 people. Fueling the growth has been investment in equipment, plant expansion, and building a customer base. We've invested quite a bit in the company in the last 25 years, Reardon said. We've branched out into different business segments we weren't involved with before. We've been able to put together a good reputation of quality, customer service, and dependable delivery time. Reardon said he invests between $500,000 and $1 million annually back into the business as profits allow. 3 years ago, SCP constructed a 30,000-square-foot building to accommodate growth. The plant now operates 7 days a week, running two 10-hour shifts Monday through Thursday and a 12-hour shift Friday through Sunday. The average consumer might not recognize what SCP manufactures, but Reardon said consumers know well the products that are made with SCP parts. SCP makes components for washing machines and clothes dryers, ovens, dishwashers, residential gas and electric furnaces. SCP also makes parts for electrical panels and parts for automobile seats and exhaust systems. History of Stone City Products. The business was founded in 1946 by three tool and die makers from Seymour and Columbus. By early 1950s, the owners were in financial trouble and approached Marshall Miller, Reardon's grandfather, about getting involved to minimize the loss to the bank. Miller was a Citizens Trust Bank director. Miller would later buy out the partners. What began as a tool and die facility eventually evolved into a stamping company. In 1954, Miller invited his son-in-law, David Reardon, who was working for Purdue University, to join the business. In 1956, the company purchased the stock of the remaining original owner, and David Reardon became president and chief executive. Stuart Reardon said his grandfather, who passed away in 1957, was a well-known entrepreneur in Bedford, with ownership in several companies during his life. Stuart, who joined the family business in 1973, said his father and grandfather would have different reactions to Hall of Fame honors. My grandfather would be pretty impressed. Dad, I'm not so sure, he said. He really didn't want to own a larger company. He was very happy with a small or medium-sized company and was perfectly satisfied with that. Stone City Products has been a member of the IMA since 1959, and David Reardon previously served as chairman on the IMA Board of Directors. The goal of the Hall of Fame is to celebrate and recognize the positive achievements made by Indiana manufacturing companies. Those selected must have a long-standing history in Indiana and be a part of a growing and evolving company. They must also have supported the manufacturing industry through involvement in organizations such as the Indiana Manufacturers Association. The next article is titled, Davis County Economic Development Sets Growth Plans in Motion to Strengthen Workforce, Implements State Development Program. The Davis County Economic Development Corporation, DCEDC, is putting plans in motion to help strengthen local workforce development and secure state funding of up to $1 million and support from the Hoosier Enduring Legacy Program. Two new positions at DCEDC will help achieve this. It is no secret that the workforce is one of the top challenges for businesses, not only in Davis County, but across the state and nation, said Bryant Niehoff, DCEDC Executive Director. Addressing these workforce challenges has required greater organization and tapping into Davis County business, regional, educational, and civic leadership, and it became apparent that we needed a single point of contact to fully maximize our efforts. Niehoff continued, accordingly, Jill Campbell in our office has been promoted from project manager to our new program and workforce manager position, where she will continue to support and expand the efforts of our Develop Davis Workforce Coalition. In this position, Campbell will be responsible for coordinating with Davis County businesses, education partners, and regional workforce development organizations to identify creative solutions for tackling the workforce and talent challenges facing Davis County employers. Jill has strong relationships and community experience in both the healthcare and manufacturing industries here, so this new role will be a natural progression, Niehoff said. To help engage and secure support from the state's Hoosier Enduring Legacy Program, HELP, a new community coordinator position has been created to support Davis County involvement with the Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs, OCRA, program. Amber Warden will take up the new community coordinator position, which will work out of the DCEDC office. The state's current HELP program grew out of Indiana's previously successful Stellar Communities program. For this new post-COVID-19 initiative, OCRA is collaborating with the Purdue Center for Regional Development, the Indiana University Center for Rural Engagement, the Ball State University Indiana Communities Institute, Ivy Tech Community College, and other state partners to offer this new program to 9 Hoosier communities across the state, one of which is Davis County. The Hoosier Enduring Legacy Program qualifies Davis County for up to $1 million in state funding towards legacy projects identified through this process, Niehoff said. We have the organizational assets now in place to strengthen our community's capacity and advance Davis County now and in the future through these efforts. Through the OCRA HELP Expansion Program, OCRA and Davis County will ramp up local community engagement, renew prior planning efforts, and create asset-building strategies to re-engage Davis County communities in preparing for the future while building local leadership capacity. The year-long HELP program in Davis County will develop a formal strategic investment plan, which will follow 4 formal pathways: advancing e-connectivity, promoting community wellness, enhancing quality of place, and strengthening local economies in the county. The process of developing the new plan is expected to help build long-term capacity, develop attainable projects, and leave a positive legacy in Davis County communities. Part of the program provides matching funds for the new community coordinator position. The next article is titled Ball State Study Examines Rural Counties' Potential to Attract Remote Workers, written by Carol Johnson. Before the pandemic, three-quarters of American workers had never worked from home. By May of 2020, one-third of employed Americans left their offices to work from home because of the pandemic. Every day was casual Friday as workers attended Zoom meetings in sweats and t-shirts. Even as COVID guidelines have eased, the workplace for many did not return to pre-COVID days. The workplace has evolved with workers seeking and employers offering flexible remote work schedules. A study by Ball State University, the state of the rural economy in Indiana, found that rural counties are uniquely positioned to capitalize on workers who are no longer geographically tied to their jobs. In an environment where workers can do their job from anywhere, some are relocating, whether it's a return to their hometowns or seeking solace from large urban cities. Three Southwest Indiana counties are ranked in the top 20 of rural counties that could benefit from workers relocating. Davis, DuBois, and Crawford counties scored high on four criteria: housing, quality of life, schools with an A or B ranking, and percentage of remote workers. Bryant Niehoff, executive director of Davis County Economic Development Corporation, said the study confirms the work Davis County has done to expand opportunities. It validates our work to improve quality of place, quality of life, and invest in housing, he said. And we have some vital broadband projects that are happening. Because remote workers already have jobs when considering a relocation, they seek communities that offer amenities such as recreation and quality schools. Niehoff pointed to Glendale Fish and Wildlife Area near Montgomery and West Boggs Park as big draws. The study notes that with 1 in 5 Hoosiers living in a rural county, retaining talent is key. To that end, Davis County joined Radius Indiana's Choose Southern Indiana program, which provides incentives to individuals who relocate to a participating county. Choose Southern Indiana offers a $5,000 relocation incentive to qualified out-of-state individuals or families who relocate to the region. Those who relocate to Southern Indiana must maintain residency for a minimum of 2 years. Such incentive programs are being increasingly used by states and communities throughout the country to attract talent. When we started it, it was very much a pilot program, Niehoff said. So far, Davis has attracted 8 individuals plus their families. Our goal is to retain talent. Some of those who have relocated work remotely, and some have taken jobs in the Davis County area. Not a true forecast. COVID's effect on the workplace happened suddenly, and the study's authors note that the rankings aren't a formal forecast, but rather highlight the counties that already display the characteristics we believe will be connected to the post-COVID changes to residency. Also mentioned is a McKinsey study that reports between 20 and 25% of jobs could be performed remotely for 3 to 5 days a week. Another study reports that as much as 56% of American workers can work at least part-time from home. The data on remote work Ball State used is from 2020, when 4.5% of Davis County residents worked remotely. Niehoff said, while the county hasn't intentionally tried to attract remote workers, but by investing in broadband and quality of place, the county has created an environment where the remote worker can thrive. High-speed broadband is a must for remote workers. Our schools, recreation, and housing all together creates an environment to be competitive on attracting remote workers, Niehoff said. Proximity to Interstate 69 is another advantage. If your office is in Indianapolis, Bloomington, or Evansville, and maybe you have family ties in Davis County, or you want space to breathe in a hometown environment, then Davis County is a good choice for you, and you can hop on 69 and be in those large cities easily. Our next article is titled Orange County's Rise Tied to Resorts. 18.6% of jobs are in hospitality and tourism. The presence of the historic French Lick and West Baden resorts in Orange County provides the anchor for the hospitality and tourism cluster that carries a significant weight in southern Indiana. With an employment base of 7,744 total jobs in the county, 1,143 jobs, 18.6% of the total, are contained in the hospitality and tourism cluster. The cluster includes a wide variety of North American industry classification system industries, such as skiing facilities, casino hotels, bed and breakfast inns, scenic and sightseeing transportation, and nature parks. Orange County's rise in the industry accelerated in the first decade of the century as the casino hotels were renovated and reopened. The 18.6% of total employment is far in excess of the national average rate of 2.0%, and the cluster's employment has grown at a 2.1% annual rate over the past decade. The cluster subsector with the highest growth rate in the decade was recreational and vacation camps, which averaged 4.5% in growth. Casino hotels achieved a staggering location quotient of 77.98, meaning that the amount of employment in the sector was 78 times greater than the national average. Other hotels also were above the national average by nearly three times. Marinas, driven by the Patoka Lake facilities, hold a location quotient of 7.5, and skiing facilities held a location quotient of 20.22, thanks to the Paoli Peaks area that is owned by Vail Resorts. The average wages in the cluster are a respectable $46,162, nearly 99% of the national average wage for the cluster. The next article is titled Lehigh Hanson Receives United States Department of Energy Funding for FEED Study of Carbon Capture Project at its new Lehigh Cement Plant in Mitchell, Indiana. Lehigh Hanson Incorporated is pleased to announce it has received approximately $3.7 million in funding from the U.S. Department of Energy's DOE, Office of Fossil Energy and Carbon Management, FECM, to conduct a front-end engineering design, FEED, study retrofitting Mitsubishi Heavy Industries America, Incorporated, carbon capture technology at its new state-of-the-art cement plant in Mitchell, Indiana. The company is also contributing about $1.1 million in funding, which brings the total value for the project to around $4.8 million. Commercial engineering support to the project will be provided by Sargent & Lundy. The funding was part of a DOE initiative that awarded more than $31 million in funding for 10 projects to develop carbon capture technologies capable of capturing at least 95% of carbon dioxide emissions generated from natural gas power plants, waste-to-energy power plants, and industrial applications including cement and steel. The new Mitchell cement plant will more than triple its current capacity and incorporates features to minimize energy consumption and enable the utilization of alternative fuels and raw materials to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The proposed project will capture and sequester approximately 2 million metric tons of CO2 per year, or 95% of the CO2 emissions from the new cement facility. The primary objective of the FEED study is to evaluate the cost and performance of the overall project, including site-specific considerations for full-scale implementation. The project will also study the positive social, economic, and environmental benefits to the surrounding community. We are pleased to receive this funding so we can better understand what it will take to make our carbon capture project successful, said Chris Ward, President and CEO of Lehigh Hanson Incorporated. We believe that carbon capture technology will play a significant role in achieving carbon neutrality, and we are very excited to take the next steps in the journey at our Mitchell Cement plant. The new Lehigh Cement plant in Mitchell is anticipated to begin full production in early 2023. The next article is titled Purdue at Westgate, Bridging Gap Between Indiana Manufacturers and Doing Business with the Government. On Tuesday, September 6th, Purdue at Westgate and Indiana Procurement Technical Assistance Center hosted a new first-of-its-kind event, Indiana Manufacturing Day, offered guidance and resources to small businesses on how they can grow their business through government contracting. 20 manufacturers from across the state were represented at the event in hopes of adding their capabilities to the Indiana defense industry, specifically with NSWC Crane. This event did a great job of showcasing how important manufacturing is to DOD, the state of Indiana, and our country. As businesses become more intentional about moving manufacturing work back to the United States, Indiana is positioned to lead that change. It was great seeing small Indiana manufacturers eager to support the DOD and specifically the mission at NSWC Crane. The manufacturing capabilities we have in our state are second to none. This is definitely an event I want to be involved with going forward, Matt Burkett, Director of Small Business Programs, NSWC Crane said. The event featured a panel discussion based on lessons learned and the future of contracting. Representatives from NSWC Crane, Conexus, DIBS Navigator, and TriStar Engineering sat on the panel that was moderated by State Director of Indiana PTAC Program, Chris Jeffers. Indiana PTAC is committed to helping Indiana businesses win government contracts to sustain, grow, and expand their businesses in Indiana, said Jeffers. The Indiana Manufacturing Day event was a perfect example of how Hoosier businesses come together to share best practices and collaborate with NSWC Crane and Purdue University. Purdue at Westgate hosts monthly webinars with the Indiana PTAC and strive to bridge the gap between Indiana manufacturers and the Department of Defense. This was the first event we have attended, and it did not disappoint. It was great to meet other like-minded individuals and learn from their experiences and expertise. We would recommend any company looking to enter the government sales space to attend, said Micah Reed of Modus Tracking Solutions. The day concluded with an open house at the new Mantech building, located within the Westgate at Crane Technology Park. Mantech also featured the Dell Day technology bus that is currently touring nationwide. Purdue at Westgate intends to make Indiana Manufacturing Day an annual event. The next article is titled Defense IT Firm Opens Bloomfield Office. A Virginia-based IT company has set up shop in Greene County. Halvik Corporation says its new office in downtown Bloomfield will serve as a central meeting space and training area for nearly 70 employees serving Naval Surface Warfare Center Crane Division. The company cut the ribbon during a ceremony Thursday that included Congressman Larry Bouchon and State Representative Bruce Borders. Opening this office is a critical step in our ability to maintain our focus on helping deliver technical capabilities that meet our military's needs in the changing combat environment, Halvik CEO Madhavi Batula said in written remarks. Halvik provides a variety of IT services, including advanced analytics, artificial intelligence, and machine learning, and cybersecurity, according to its website. The need for cybersecurity professionals has been growing at a rapid pace, and that demand will only continue to increase, said Breanne Gerrels, Executive Director, Greene County Economic Development Corporation. With the military being their largest customer, it only makes sense that Halvik Corporation would choose this region for their expansion, and Greene County is thrilled to have them here. The company has multiple contracts with the federal government, including a recently awarded 5-year contract with NSWC Crane for acquisition, contracting officer representative, and purchase requisition support to deliver complex military systems spanning design, development, deployment, and sustainment in electronic warfare, strategic missions, and expeditionary warfare. The next article is titled Hoosier National Forest to Participate in Forest Service Plan. A significant forest plan to improve the health of the 204,000-acre Hoosier National Forest in southern Indiana will help to solidify the value of the forest as one of the primary quality of life assets in the outdoor recreation-rich section of Indiana. The Buffalo Springs Restoration Project is a multi-year project that will help to replace non-native pine trees with the more typical hardwood forest that exists in southern Indiana, helping to increase wildlife habitat and reduce health issues that are harming certain trees in the forest. The Buffalo Springs Project is expected to use tools ranging from prescribed burns to herbicide spot treatment to tree stand thinning to reduce tree density in some unhealthy portions of the forest, as well as limit the amount of oak wilt found among the trees. The project will also improve riparian habitat with improvements to 8 stream flow structures and will reduce sediment deposition into the stream. The Forest Service is currently working with environmental groups who object to or are seeking changes to parts of the plan. For southern Indiana, the extensive hardwood forests among the hills and valleys of the unglaciated lower third of Indiana have proven to be an enduring economic engine, which among other things led to the historic development of the furniture manufacturing industry that still flourishes in the region. The region is also noteworthy for the number of sawmills and the timber procurement industry that rewards numerous small landowners across more than a dozen counties in the region. The outdoor recreation in the Hoosier National Forest remains a draw for numerous tourists who visit the region to enjoy the 266 miles of hiking trails in the forest. The next article is titled Greene County to See $40 Million in New Business Investment. A $40 million new investment will represent one of the largest new business growth stories in Greene County in 2022. Quasar Management received the Greene County Council's approval of a 9-year property tax abatement in August, moving the project a step closer to reality. Quasar is a newly formed business that will produce small arms ammunition for the private market. The firm intends to construct its facility in Washington Township in southern Greene County and will bring 16 new jobs to the county. Although Quasar Management will be producing ammunition, it is not a contractor for the nearby NSA Crane military base. Estimated economic impact of the company shows that in addition to the 16 direct jobs created, an additional 10 jobs will be created in the nearby community as suppliers and retail businesses expand to meet growth opportunities. Communities like Lyons, Newberry, Bloomfield, and Switz City are likely to see more customers in their restaurants and shops, for example. Greene County depends a lot on Crane for our residents' income, followed by the schools and farmers, so anything we can do to entice new business to Greene County is a step in the right direction. Greene County Council member Kelly Zimmerly commented following approval of the abatement at the council meeting. Over an estimated 10-year time span, Quasar will benefit from a phasing in of property taxes on real property and equipment, realizing an estimated total savings of $2,162,000. This concludes excerpts from Louisville Business First, Southern Indiana Business. Your reader has been Julia Shane. Now, please stay tuned for Kentucky Series on Radio I.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.